Good morning, everyone. And welcome to our service of worship for this morning. And a special welcome to those who are joining us on the live stream this morning. As always, it is a pleasure to have you joining us. On this, what is a busy day in the lives of people and of the church as we move from the end of one liturgical year and into the other. Those who grew up in the Anglican tradition than the tradition of Presbyterianism will know this day has special meaning. Today is Stir Up Sunday. You all know what happens on Stir Up Sunday, right? You go home and you make your Christmas pudding. So you're all going to be stopping. I can see it now. Bulk Barn is going to get lots of extra business today because I've just reminded you you need to make your Christmas pudding. But that happens within the tradition. And bonus points for anybody who can tell me why it's Stir Up Sunday. The collect for the day. The Anglicans have a prayer for each day, each Sunday. The collect for today begins with the words, "Stir us up, O Lord, that we might bear fruit." What better day to make your plum pudding than in the day where you're praying that? So there's your trivia for this morning. Brenda, what are you doing up here this morning? Are you going to do the session summary? You're doing the readings this morning. Oh, good morning. Thank you for doing the readings this morning. You did the session summary last week. We're going to have to double your pay. I was just double-checking because I'm going to make reference to something that I was afraid Brenda might be talking about as well, so I was going to let her go first, but I'm not going to let you do the readings before the announcements. The announcements, as always, are on the screens as you enter, hopefully you have an opportunity to take a moment and make note of those announcements that are of most importance to you. Certainly over the next several weeks, as we move into the Advent and Christmas seasons, there will be lots of things that will be happening both here at St. John's and in the community around us. So in addition to maybe getting here just a couple minutes early to make sure that you see the announcements that are on the screens before you, I'm pausing in the hallway, in the lower hall down, or in the hallway downstairs. There will be, of course, other community events on the bulletin board that is down there. So lots of things going on that will be of interest to you over the next several weeks. And a bulletin insert that has all of our important dates coming up. There's a lot of paper up here this morning. I got to keep it moving so I have the right piece in front of me. A reminder, next Saturday, the 29th of November at 1:30, we will be gathering here for the decoration party to get the trees up and prepare the sanctuary for the season of Advent. All are invited to come and take part, and there may even be a few little snacks along the way for those who might be enticed by that sort of thing. So remember that Saturday at 1:30, we will be here to decorate the sanctuary. Next Sunday will also, in addition to being the first Sunday of Advent, will be the Sacrament of Communion. And so you are asked to remember that and to be present as we celebrate the goodness of our God. As we move to the end of the year, we're mindful of the church's budget and financial obligations. We've done really well this year with Presbyterians sharing. Presbyterian sharing, as most are aware, is the mission arm of our church. It is how we reach out to brothers and sisters in Christ in partnership and ministry around the world and support congregations here in Canada as well. So far in this year, we have raised $14,500, give or take, towards that amount. Our end goal is 18,000. So we have 3,500 yet to get to our goal, which is, I know this congregation, which is really achievable as we move toward the end of the year. We know that God's grace has brought us this far on this journey of faith, and we pray that grace will be with us as we move to the end of the year. On the table out here, I'm not sure if there's any over at this entrance or not, there's a letter from the Presbytery of Seaway Glengarry. Over the next course of the next year or so, the Presbytery is engaged in a visioning process that, amongst other things, will rationalize ministry, will see congregations ministries moving and changing. So the Presbytery wishes to have the opportunity to get this material before all members, and indeed, partway in that process, you will be invited to come probably for a day somewhere to discuss dreams and hopes of the church within the next 10 to 20 years. But this letter that introduces you and begins that process is on the table as you go to the hall down into towards the kitchen area after worship this morning. And finally, on behalf of the congregation, sympathies are extended to the family of Harry Bowman, or Richard Bowman, however you knew him. Harry passed away this past week, and more details on his celebration of life will follow. Let us stand as we come into the presence of our Lord this morning. And let us say together the call to worship as it will appear before you on the screens. We gather on this holy day . We gather around a font and a table, for we have known joy through water and bread. We gather around an ancient story, for we have heard truth in the words of the Scriptures. We gather around the Holy Spirit, who enlivens our hearts for the worship of God. Let us come before God this morning in prayer. Let us pray. God of all times and all places, be with us in this time and this place. Just as you have spoken to your people through prophets and poets, we pray that we might hear the word you speak to us today. Just as you have spoken to your people through deeds and miracles, we pray that we might have eyes to see the word that you speak to us today. Just as you have called your people to act in the midst of your creation, we pray that we might have feet to walk and hands to reach out. For the sake of your Son, in whose name we pray, amen. And as we come and worship this morning, we join our voices in praise as we sing the hymn, Gather Us In. The music for this hymn, if you wish to follow along with it, is contained in the bulletin, or the words will appear before you on the screen.
Our dreaming.
And see, I go away for a week and I forget how worship works. We light the Christ candle as we come in worship this morning as a visible sign that Christ is the light of the world and that we who are his people seek to walk in his path. As we come this day in worship, we do not confess our sins in the hope of forgiveness. We confess our sins with the certainty that God will forgive us. For the Apostle Paul has assured us that we have been rescued from the power of darkness and transferred into the kingdom of God's beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. And so with that promise, that assurance, that redemption, we confess our sins before God and one another as we say the prayer as it appears before you on the screens. God of wonder and might, forgive us when we put our faith in earthly power instead of in your promises. You call us to work for your reign in this world, on earth as it is in heaven. Forgive us when we take those words as a platitude instead of a pledge. Forgive us, O Lord. Move us and challenge us to be servants of peace and justice in the world you came to redeem. Amen. Friends, hear this good news. All things in heaven and on earth are reconciled to God through Christ Jesus our Lord. Forgiveness is ours through faith in him, in whom God was pleased to dwell. Know that you are forgiven and be at peace. Forgiven by God, we are welcomed into God's presence. I invite you now to turn to your neighbors and greet them in the name of Jesus, saying to them, I am glad that you are here today. When you're way up here, good morning, Brenda. I'm glad that you are here today. Let us rise to sing the hymn 422, Sing a New Song Unto the Lord. I'm like Hannah this morning. Not that Hannah, the Hannah from the Bible. I'm childless. Good morning, everyone. But that doesn't mean I won't tell you the children's story anyway. Just that Carol has to do all the answering this morning. Or Carol's, and they line up. We're talking this morning about symbols. I better not swing that too high. Brenda will get nervous. We're talking this morning about symbols. And as we come into church, there's always lots of symbols around us to remind us of the teachings of the gospel, of the stories of Jesus. If I hold this up, you think automatically of a shepherd, right? And if I hold this up, automatically you think of a king. This morning in the readings that we're going to hear, these two images, the images of kings and shepherds, are going to come together. This morning, of course, is Christ the King Sunday, or Reign of Christ Sunday. And so kings on days like today, that kingly language is something that we're quite familiar with. We're not quite so familiar with our good friend Jeremiah, who refers to kings as shepherds. So as you hear that reading read in just a moment by Brenda, you can, every time you hear shepherd, know that he is speaking of the kings who have been ruling over the people of God. And it is that difficult image, the difficult combination of these two images that kind of works all around with everything we're talking about this morning. That Jesus, like the great kings before him from the Old Testament, King David in particular, was a shepherd. That image of the shepherd, the one who cares for the people, as opposed to the king with the crown who is more concerned with power. That interplay between these two symbols and these two images is going to be with us throughout the morning. So listen for them. Let us come before God in prayer. Holy God, our hope and our strength, by the power of your Spirit, prepare in our hearts the way for the coming of your word, so that we may see the glorious signs of your promise fulfilled. We pray all these things in and through the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Good morning. The first reading is Jeremiah 23, verses 1 to 6. Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, says the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the shepherds who shepherd my people. It is you who have scattered my flock and have driven them away, and you have not attended to them. So I will attend to you for your evil doing, says the Lord. Then I myself will gather the remnant of my flock out of the lands where I have driven them, and I will bring them back to their fold, and they will be fruitful and multiply. I will rise up shepherds over them who will shepherd them, and they no longer fear longer and be dismayed, nor shall any be missing, says the Lord. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will rise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign the king and deal wisely, and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In these days Judah will be saved, and Israel will live in safety. And this is the name by which he will be called, Lord is our righteousness. The second reading is the responsive reading, Luke 1, verses 68 to 79, and it's responsive and be on the screen. Blessed be to the Lord of Israel, for he has looked favorably on his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a mighty Savior blessed the house of his child David, as he spoke through the mouth of prophets of his old. And they will be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us. Thus he had shown the mercy promised to be to our ancestors and has remembered his holy covenant. The oath that he swore to our ancestor Abraham to grant us that we, being rescued from the hands of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness in his presence all our days. And your child will be called the prophet of the Most High.
For you will go before the Lord to prepare his way, to give his people knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins.
Because of the tender mercy of our God, the dawn from on high will break upon us to shine upon those who sit in the darkness, in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. The final reading is the Epistle reading, Colossians 1, verses 11 to 20. May you be made strong with the strength that comes from our glorious power, so that you may have endurance of patience joyfully. Give thanks to the Father who had enabled you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. He had rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his Son, in whom we redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things in heaven, on earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominoes or rulers or powers. All things have been created through him, for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross.
Once more, let us turn in praise as we sing hymn 363 in the Book of Praise, All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name. Hymn 363, or as the words appear before you on the screen.
Oh,
And our gospel reading for this morning, taken from Luke chapter 23, beginning to read at the 33rd verse. Luke 23, beginning at the 33rd verse. Let us listen for God's word to his people. Now when they had come to the place that is called the Skull, they crucified Jesus there with the criminals, one on his right hand and one on his left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing." And they cast lots to divide his clothing. And the people stood by watching. And the leaders scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others. Let him save himself, if he is the Messiah of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering sour wine and saying, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription over him, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who were hanging there kept deriding him and saying, "Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed have been condemned justly, for we are getting what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus replied, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God for his word to us. Friends in Christ, what I say to you this morning is proclaimed in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Back in the mid-1990s, I became aware of a particular tattoo. Now, in a culture that is known for amazing and artistic tattoos, the Canadian Armed Forces, there was one small and really quite unexceptional tattoo that was barely noticed amid the large-scale and colorful tattoos that you often saw bedecking the bodies of the soldiers. I remember still a sergeant who had a lizard that started about here with his tail, wrapped all the way around, came across his shoulders, down this shoulder, and ended with the head about here, just above where your sleeve would fall, because that was where tattoos had to end back then. Or one of my own lieutenants who had a collection of images that were woven into tattoos that covered the shoulders of both of his arms from here to here, again, just where they were covered. And in contrast of all of these, and these guys weren't exceptional. There were lots of tattoos. But in contrast to all of these tattoos, these great works of art that they bore upon their bodies, many of the serving members that I knew also had a small red maple leaf, not much bigger than about an inch, right here. And for those serving members, that tattoo was a signpost pointing to their identity and their pride. Now, perhaps, I feel safe in saying probably, y'all don't have tattoos like that. But willingly or wittingly or unwittingly, we all bear the marks of who we are. Perhaps it's the emblem on your shirt pocket or on your sock that indicates it comes from the collection of Pierre Cardin or Ralph Lauren's polo. Maybe it's the insignia on your purse from Steve Madden or maybe if you're really she, Chanel. From Carhartt to Lululemon to the Nike swoosh, each of us bears the mark of someone. And many of us have chosen that brand because it conveys to others how we choose to define ourselves. The gospel lesson this morning is filled with references to symbols, as we mentioned earlier. Symbols that seek to identify the people in the story and who has the power. Time and again in this gospel reading, the narrative unfolds for the reading the misunderstanding of what's really going on here in this great drama. Today's gospel begins with Jesus being led out to be crucified. Crucifixion was one of the most tortuous ways to die within the Roman arsenal of ways that they could make people die. Crucifixion was slow, it was public, and it was humiliating. Crucifixion was a death that revealed in showing to the world the victim's weakness. No one ever died from the wounds that were inflicted at the time of crucifixion. Indeed, many people who were crucified weren't nailed to crosses at all, as Jesus is here in the story this morning. They were simply tied to the cross arm by ropes. But the wounds didn't matter. Crucifixion, you see, was a death by asphyxiation. As the weight of the body is stretched to its fullest extent by gravity, making breathing impossible. It seems to have been mostly reserved for political dissidents and those who sought to overthrow Roman occupation. And after death, the bodies would be left upon the cross to rot or to be consumed by the birds of the air, carrion, just another meal. In dying and in death, it was the reminder to everyone who passed by that place that no one was more powerful than Rome. Contrast then all of this with the sign that is affixed to the cross that is above Jesus' head and to the cruel mocking of the crowds who have gathered at the feet of his cross. Luke tells us the people stood by watching, but the leaders scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he is the Messiah of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you're the king of the Jews, save yourself." And there was the inscription over him, "This is the king of the Jews." In all the world, to Roman and resident of Jerusalem alike, to soldier and citizen, the order of this world is playing out exactly as it should in this story. The powerful hold dominion over the weak, and anyone who stands against the way things are will suffer the consequences. And yet, it is in Jesus' suffering that the true reign of God is revealed. We who know the story of Jesus recognize the contradictions that run throughout the story. That the true reign of God is revealed exactly in Jesus' suffering, not in his saving of himself. The taunts of the crowd are for Jesus to act on his own self-interest. "If you are the Messiah, use your power and save yourself." But Jesus' mission is greater than that. Jesus was not sent to pursue his own self-interest, to wield power for personal gain or self-aggrandizement. No, Jesus is sent to redeem the world, to, in his own life, establish God's rule of justice and peace. And this is what he does in his closing words in this text this morning, spoken to the criminal who hangs beside him. "Truly, I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." In our reading from Jeremiah, and as we mentioned earlier, we have heard God's judgment against the unrighteous rulers over the people of God, shepherds of the people, if you will borrow that image, who do not care for those who live under them and their welfare, but who use their power and their position for their own benefit. But the promise of the prophet is that God will send a new shepherd from the branch of David, one who will deal wisely and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. As we draw to the end of another church year and stand on the precipice of the season of Advent one more time, we are reminded that in this moment in the gospel story, in this moment in the church year, and in this moment in our very lives, Christ has opened the door to us, the door into God's kingdom. To us as to the criminal who stands beside him on the cross, Jesus invites us to cross over that threshold and to live in and into God's justice. "Truly," Jesus says to the criminal and to us, "today you will be with me in paradise." Thanks be to God for the assurance of God's love with us in all times, walking with us and guiding us into ways of peace. This morning's affirmation of faith. Have your good reading glasses on for this one. It comes from the Scots Confession, so I've really gone quite bold this day. The wording will be slightly challenging for some of us. It was written several hundred years ago, but I think we can do it. It comes from chapter 11 of the Scots Confession, the chapter concerning ascension. Let us read together the words as they appear before us on the screen. "We do not doubt but that the selfsame body which was born of the Virgin was crucified, dead, and buried, and which did rise again, did ascend into the heavens for the accomplishment of all things, where in our name and for our comfort he has received all power in heaven and on earth, where he sits at the right hand of the Father, having received his kingdom, the only advocate and mediator for us, which glory, honor, and prerogative he alone amongst the brethren shall possess, till all his enemies are made his footstool, as he undoubtedly believe they shall be in the last judgment. We believe that the same Lord Jesus shall visibly return from this last judgment as he has seen to ascend. And then we firmly believe the time of refreshing and restitution of all things shall come. Thanks be to God." All things in heaven and on earth belong to God, who is coming in glory to reveal a new creation. Let us offer our lives to the Lord as we now present our tithes and our offerings. Let us pray. Eternal God, as we wait for the fulfillment of your reign, use these gifts and the gifts of our lives to bring justice to those who are oppressed, to set free those who are in prison, to lift up those who are bowed down, and to uphold those who are vulnerable. Amen. Once more, let us come before God in prayer. Let us pray. Loving God, you have assured us that the days are surely coming when your people will know peace, your people will know justice, your people will know righteousness. Confident in your promises, we proclaim with faith, the Lord is our righteousness. You have assured us that a leader will come to rule with wisdom. We pray this day for those in particular need of justice, righteousness, and mercy. We pray for the trampled, the ignored, the brushed aside. We pray for the homeless, the loveless, and the helpless. We pray for leaders in governments, homes, communities, and schools, that they may know the influence of wisdom rather than power. And we declare with faith, the Lord is our righteousness. You have assured us of the salvation and safety of your people. We pray this day for those who only know violence, those whose countries have been torn apart by invasion, civil war, or private armies, those whose communities have been forgotten by all but warlords and gangs, those whose homes are places of danger and fear rather than sanctuary and love. And we declare with faith, the Lord is our righteousness. God of all creation, we pray this day for the reign of Jesus Christ, our Lord, in our world and in our hearts. Stir up, O Lord, the wills of your faithful people, that they may bring forth the fruits of good work, and that may by you be richly rewarded. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught his disciples to pray in this manner. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. The closing praise for this morning is number 275 in the Book of Praise. Jesus shall reign where'er the sun. Hymn 275 in the Book of Praise, or as it will appear before you on the screens.
Jesus shall reign.
And now as we go from this place, let us proclaim the message that we have heard. Be persistent in prayer. Do the work of the gospel and carry out the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ to each one we meet each day. And may the Lord bless you and keep you. You're going out and you're coming in from this time onward and forevermore. Amen.